As an industry, we made it our business to learn about games, how they work, about their resonance, and their successes or failures. There's a human side to the industry as well. My name is Paul James, and welcome to Dev Diary, a series that explores and celebrates the incredible feats of the people behind the games as we dive into their stories, the highs, the lows, and everywhere in between. In this episode, I'm joined by Dan Udkovich, co-founder of Danger Thumbs. So join us as we explore his journey. Of course, Dev Diary is funded by an amazing group of people at patreon.com/devdiarypodcast. They help grow the show, make it bigger, make it more successful, and they've got early access to this episode. Consider checking it out yourself, and if you can't do that, perhaps consider throwing the show a 5-star review or equivalent on your podcast service of choice. Thanks a lot and enjoy the show. So today I'm joined by Dan. How's things, mate?
Really good, mate. Thank you. How about yourself?
Yeah, really well. We're recording this a couple of weeks after catching up most recently at the Game Expo and getting to check out your, I guess, the many changes that we even spoke about at the time when it comes to your game, which we'll talk about more shortly, Footy Bash. But it's great to have you on the show and to chat all about it and your journey through game dev so far. Thanks for coming aboard, mate.
Awesome. Thank you for inviting me, mate. Always welcome in our little company, man. So whenever we get a chance to chat, we'd take the choice, for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be this, and I guess wanting to, I'm absolutely very obviously plugging multiple different products here, as well as Dev Diary. You're going to be on my AFL kind of show in some to be determined time in the future to talk about the game more through a footy lens in the future. So I definitely encourage people to go check out Behind the Play on podcast feeds as well when that time comes. But for now, this is Dev Diary series. We talk to developers from throughout the industry. They share their stories, their experiences, and the journey that's led to this current point in time. Now, Dan, we're going to talk about Footy Bash and a whole bunch of other cool stuff shortly. But before we get to any of that, video games, where did they enter your life? Do you recall what some of the first games were that you ever played? How did it all begin for you?
Yeah, it started for me with the Sega Master System, or my older brother's Sega Master System. So he's 8 years older than me, playing games like Aerial Assault, Rescue Mission with a little light phaser, which still works, mind you.
Nice.
And then games like the Lucky Dime Caper, the Donald Duck game, Games, all that stuff. So, but that was more me watching with Wonder Boys and stuff. Where I actually got my hands dirty with games would be more so on the Mega Drive, Rock'n'Roll Racing, going down to Blockbuster and renting that for the weekend. Absolute banger. Been an absolute Blizzard fanboy ever since. I buy all the expansions, even though I don't play World of Warcraft. Just, you know, helping them out where I can.
You're not kidding. You're slinging a few dollars their way regardless.
I play sometimes. I play sporadically. Yeah. So mostly Rock'n'Roll Racing is where it all kicked off. And then for an NBA Jam.
Yes.
Absolute massive in our house, getting absolutely romped by my brother nonstop. Timberwolves then, Timberwolves now. No one can see my jumper, but I'm wearing it now. It was good because games back then were pretty simple for a kid like me to play. You know,
very
a couple buttons.
Yeah,
super easy. So and then after that, it went to PC gaming, and I kind of took a different route down Star Siege Tribes, mostly.
Okay. Yep.
And then StarCraft, the entire StarCraft franchise, I absolutely murdered over the past 25 years. So
again, a Blizzard fanboy.
Gotta help him out, you know what I mean? But no, so NBA Jam, FIFA Street, Wayne Gretzky's Hockey. We just fight all the time. So
yeah, I played that a bit on the 64 at a mate's place, and we just... It was never really about hockey. It was always about bashing people, I can get around.
So you can see the games that I choose are the sports games where you can actually have the arcadey fun with it, which is probably see a lot of that, hopefully, in Footy Bash. So, yeah.
And obviously, we'll connect those dots to Footy Bash shortly. But yeah, I guess as things continue to develop and you got that experience with the Sega platforms early on and moved to PC, did you find yourself gravitating towards any, and we've obviously spoken about one particular publisher or developer, but did you find yourself attracted to any specific genres or platforms? Did you really pretty much remain a PC guy for the most part? Like, how did things kind of trend for you from there as you continue to get more experience with games and more platforms are available to you?
Yeah, so mum and dad bought us a PC pretty early on. So PC was the main thing that we played. We did still get all the PlayStations, PS1, PS2, Nintendo 64. So the PC was mostly for my RTS addiction that started very young. So I don't think there's a single RTS that I haven't played. I played a lot of them, semi-competitively through university as well.
That's a bold call. I think there was about, I was checking out that IIII Initiative conference last night. There was about 15 of them, I reckon, that were all announced at the same time. So you got a big challenge ahead
Yeah, I can't wait.
of you.
But no, so but all the the more memorable experience. I don't really remember me playing a lot of times. Me playing by myself, Age of Empires or Empire Earth or StarCraft. I much more remember, Wayne Gretzky's, even the old Tiger Woods goals where you can just spam the congratulations, well done, good shot, voice lines and just trying to throw someone off, and NBA Jam. So yeah, so mostly on my own time it was PC. But always when we have, our cousins or my brother or his friends over, it was 100% console all the way. So
No, very nice. It means you got the best of both worlds, and obviously, yeah, that bit of that through for anyone who knows anything about Footy Bash, and we'll talk about it more shortly. There's definitely a bit of a through line there that connects that game as well. How is it that we got to this path of game development? Now, we were talking kind of off air before that there's experiences. You've got an engineering degree, and you've been in corporate. I guess when did video game development become a consideration for you?
It was always the goal. I mean, it's always the dream. So out of uni, so out of high school, I got into like land surveying, it's cadastral engineering. So I did 2 years of that at RMIT. Didn't love it. I spoke off air, really heavy in maths, English, and
Was more
history
your
were my go
forte.
and IT were my go-tos. You know what I mean? So I decided to go overseas with my then girlfriend, now wife, many 16 years ago. We went overseas and I missed the first 3 or 4 weeks of second semester of uni. So I took all my electives, I did all IT work, and I passed really well. I'm like, damn, like IT is easy, man. I might just get a job in IT. So then I transferred to Deakin in a Burwood campus in Melbourne. Absolute amazing university. It was really, really fun. A lot of the work I did at RMIT was exactly the same as Deakin, so it gave me a
That
couple easy
helps.
semesters. So then I went to your normal corporate job, app support off the bat, and then I went more into like a app team lead role, app support team lead role. Then I started going to developing, and then I kind of got pulled away from developing probably, I'd say, midway through my professional career, professional career life cycle. I got pulled away and more into what I was good at. So, sorry, the most value I could bring to the company. So they enjoyed me being front facing. So I was, I enjoyed doing tenders. I enjoyed going out on site and speaking to clients. All that fun stuff. Interacting. I did retail work from when I was 14 and 9 months I've been working. So either in McDonald's or in a retail setting. So I love talking to people. So then, yeah, I got to a point where I was doing some big projects for some big companies, for government agencies, things like that. And I'm like, I could see like a pretty good career path for myself in that area.
Yeah,
But then
nice.
it got to a point of, do I want to be doing this forever? And then the substantially longer days, it came down to what's my time worth? Especially now with a 2.5 year old, the work life balance was a massive thing. So I ended up changing jobs in the middle of COVID, or just as COVID kicked off.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah,
gutsy.
yeah,
But
yeah.
yeah,
And
especially if it's just when COVID kicks off, you don't even necessarily know. So,
yeah, so
brave,
that
brave
the.
call, but it's worked out okay.
Yeah, so that was my last actual corporate job. And then, yeah, at the start of, we kicked off Footy Bash at the start of last year. And then, yeah, I jumped on board. Barry's been a mate of mine for forever. And then it's always been something that we always wanted to do. So we're like, yeah, let's do it, give it a crack, and rest is history.
Well, to, I guess, address some of those other aspects you spoke about, yeah, like the interaction with people. I've, met you a couple times, spoken to you a few times now at a few different events, and incredibly personable. So yeah, absolutely got the skill set for that and crushing it so far on the show as well. But
Thanks, mate.
I guess out of curiosity, are we able to talk about some of these apps that you're working, like what, anything that people be familiar with, whether they're kind of more game centric or even just functionality and day-to-day sort of focused?
Not so much game centric. A lot of them were internal systems. As I
Oh yeah,
mentioned,
okay.
we have a lot of government clients, and not-for-profits and things like that. So a lot
Less
of my
consumer
stuff
facing.
will much less consumer facing. Yeah. So we're talking large, much larger projects, much larger teams, much larger scope. But like everyone else, everyone always wants, the work done for the least amount of money in the
Of
fastest
course.
time possible. So, yeah.
And yeah, there's burnout that can come with that. There's lots of reconsideration that can come with that. And obviously that applied to you conveniently enough at the beginning of COVID. So, as you touched on, beginning of last year, you started working on Footy Bash, and it's been a pretty crazy sort of turnaround from having the game at PAX last year to then catching up with you fairly recently at the Game Expo and seeing the amount of change and growth in the game there. But I guess where did the idea first begin? We've touched on a range of different sports games, and as you said, more arcadey sorts of sports games that you were enjoying as a kid. Where does the, I guess, actually another key pillar, where does the love of AFL begin, and then how does that become, oh, let's have a crack at making an AFL game, considering the massive success that we see from the many other AFL games in the market by
Yeah,
Ross?
it's a pretty inundated market for sure. Count them on one hand, nearly in the last 10 years. No, so the AFL thing started in early, maybe prep or grade one. I come from a fully European Croatian household, so it's all soccer, 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 soccer. And then we had a sports day, at school, and it's like, bring your favorite footy team's jerseys or colors to school. And I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know the AFL all that well. So I had a goalkeeping jumper, which was a Hawthorn pattern, pretty much the same colors and the
Oh
same layout.
no.
Yeah, I know. And then they're like, oh, you go for Hawthorn? And I'm like, oh, I guess so. Anyway, we went through, looked at the logos. I'm like, these guys, man. I'm like, that bomber. I'm like, that's the guy. I'm like, black and red is just quintessential young kid. Love those two colors together because, they're amazing. It's a
I can
bomber. I'm like,
tolerate
all
that
right.
more. It's all right. I can tolerate that more. But I've got a whole footy show to wax with you about that sort of thing, so I will leave that be for now. We'll deal with that when the time comes. We'll keep it more game focused.
I'm like, that's a great looking logo. So ever since then, plus we had a good team back in, oh gosh, pre-2000s.
Yeah, the baby bombers and all those sorts of things of the 90s, 2000s, etc.
It was actually a great time. So I saw that logo, I'm like, oh cool, done. And then obviously a lot of Australian mates, went to the footy. My cousins, they are huge household of St Kilda and Western Bulldogs. So I went to a few footy games with them. I'm like, man, this is awesome. It's a bit more fun than soccer to watch. For a entertainment level, because it's just, big kicks, tackling each other down, good scores, cheering. I'm like, this is fucking amazing.
No, that's right.
Get
Aussie
them up.
rules, we got another one. That's fine. We're like just one by one, we're just chipping away at the soccer lovers. It's all right.
Mate, it's you don't get those cheers in a 0-0 draw, I tell you that. But yeah,
That's
so it
always been
was
the thing that's put me off the sport, is like you can play for how long's a match again? 80? Is it 80?
90 minutes
90 minutes?
plus
And
stoppage time. Yeah,
you could have no score. It's just
yeah.
it's baffling to me. So
It's like watching a good game of chess. But yeah, so ever since then, man, it's I've always watched where I could, gone to games whenever mates want to go to games, and yeah, it's just an amazing sport, man.
just waiting for some bomber success in this century. That again, I'll save that for. I've got another show for that.
Hopefully, my son can inherit the bomber success when he's older, so
One day it's got to change, right?
one day.
So how does that love of the sport itself become the pursuit of making an AFL game? As you said, there wasn't a great number of games in the market. You could count them on one hand. Games within the space of the last decade, you can maybe almost get close to making the same argument for this century, but I won't scope all of that out. I can think of three or four at least off the top of my head. But how did that become game dev, and how did that become an AFL game?
Well, getting older, we went. So I started to go back and play older games, so like Arch Rivals, the old AFL games. I'm like, it's just fun, you know. At some point, games like Madden. I like watching NFL, but I can't get into Madden. I'm like, this is just way too cumbersome. It's heavy. You know what I
It's an
mean?
RPG though, right? Really, these days.
Yeah, and even the it's you know I'm like I miss when sports games were actually fun. Like I you know the soccer games are a lot simpler to me because you set your formation and then at the start and then you try and score goals. You know, all the skill is on the pitch. Whereas all this management stuff, I'm like, I just want to kick the footy around, my man. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, high level, man. That's what it come down to. It's just I love playing footy. We just thought having a footy game would be amazing to have, but also take away a lot of the weight. So let's, take out a lot of the stoppages. Let's take out a lot of the, rules. Let's say a lot of the AFL specific rules and go, you know what? People know kicking the footy, you get a goal, you tackle people. You know, when the sport's known it's pretty physical.
So make sure that's represented, and otherwise focus on kicking the ball between the sticks.
That's it, mate. It's like, take it down to its bare essentials. I'm just getting goals and just, a bit of roughhousing on the pitch, and that's it.
And so I guess a lot of people will make comparisons to, and you've touched on a few of these games along the way. They'll make the NBA Jam comparisons. They'll make the Blood Bowl comparisons because of the violent, some of the violent edge. I guess what were some of the games that really provided an inspiration for the direction of the game? Because obviously we've got the core sport itself, which is the central inspiration, but there's obviously influence there from other video games that have been there and done it for, around their specific sports. For you and Barra, what were some of the games that I guess served as a greater inspiration for Footy Bash?
Like you mentioned, NBA Jam, huge. FIFA Street. It wasn't really picking one game and then taking things out of it. So there's a soccer game on Steam which has some pretty exaggerated special moves, which I can't remember what it's called. I can't remember what it's called. But
That's
anyway, it's a relatively new soccer game, more anime, really over the top animations. I'm like, this is pretty sweet. You know what I mean? So I'm like, okay, let's get some cool animations in here. Then we had the, all your punching and stuff. I'm like Wayne Gretzky. I'm like, well, we're not gonna stop the match to throw down. I'm like, let's just throw some punches in. So it's not really like taking a game and remaking it. It's just taking cool ideas from other games. So the perfect kick, if you line the kick meter up to 99% and you're in the 50, the ball will glow yellow and it'll go straight towards the goal. Kind of representative of the On Fire from NBA Jam. You've got perks. Each player has got, well, each team has got perks at the moment. And then they'll be interchangeable as well. Going down more the Blood Bowl, management route, and yeah. So not really, one or two games saying we're taking this and we're just going to rebuild on top of it. It's just taking a bunch of cool ideas and what made those games fun.
That makes sense.
There are a lot of mechanical decisions in how we handled things like kicking and movement speed, and I don't know how much you want to go into that stuff, but there's a lot of consideration into how the game actually plays, in kind of, I guess, directing a certain play style that we like. It's not really a fun way to say that, but it's making people play the game, the way that, games used to be played. So an example being, initially, when you had the ball, you would run at the same speed as everyone else. So you'd get the ball, you'd sprint, no one could catch you, you'd just go to the 50 and boot a goal. Not fun. So when you get the ball now, your movement speed decreases by 25%. When you start lining up for a kick, it drops down to 50%. So that way, as soon as you get the ball, people are going to be closing on you really quick. So because they're closing in, it encourages a lot more kicking, which encourages a lot more marking, which encourages a lot more big tackles, a lot of punches,
And a lot of behind the play punches for sure, yeah.
Yeah, exactly right.
I'm
So
thriving on that one.
yeah, being the younger brother, it's not fun, being outclassed and absolutely demolishing every game you play. There's always this game always keeps both players in. Always you're always going to get a chance. There's no one's going to be able to, take the ball, you're not going to touch it. There's always going to be a chance for you to catch them, tackle and punch them and get a couple kicks yourself. So
And it's simple enough, and I don't mean in a derogatory sense, but like it's simple enough that you can very quickly learn how to swing the momentum of the game. And I think about some of the experiences that I had with that most recent build at TGX, where I mean I'd had that initial game, I can't remember who I was playing. Actually, I might have been against Baron. I rolled him. Let's make a note of that. but then you obviously had a few people that were kind of coming and going and returning and trying out the game, and I had a crack at one of your other big supporters of the game there, and he got the jump on me in the first, I guess it's only two halves or two quarters.
Two halves, yeah.
But you got the jump on me in the first few minutes there and got a few quick goals away. And I'm like, this is, how do I do this? And very quickly realized, well, he's playing a far more pure game, so I'm just going to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And strip him the ball and forget like trying to, you know, nuance my way up the ground. It's a very Richmond inspired, just don't care how, just get it up there sort of mentality. And completely shifted the whole thing. Like, despite the fact that it is so simple, there's enough nuance to the systems that you've got that allow you to kind of shift the momentum of the game. As long as you don't try it too late, you've got enough time to kind of chase this thing down and play it with a variety of different tactics without having to have the menus and the systems that we're talking about with a Madden or something like that.
Yeah, so pretty much that sums it up pretty perfectly. So we want a system where you can basically you're always in the game. Obviously at the game expo and PAX and those events, we want to condense the game time. So I think we ran 2 minute halves.
Yeah.
Two minute halves. So really, really quick. Obviously the game will have its four quarters and things like that. But yeah, so you can, you know, you can do your small kicks with lots of marks. Obviously marks replenish stamina and create a bit of space underneath you. You can just run the stiff arm and just plow through people, get into the 50 and just boot a goal. A lot of consideration goes into the perks as well. We're both super competitive, like pretty to a point where we'd play a game, I know, and then, you know, Barry would roll me and I'll be working. I'm like, dude, I'm let's go again. We go again and I, you know, beat him and I'd be talking just endless amounts of shit, I don't know, sorry about my language.
No, I've already dropped it, don't worry, you're fine.
The entire time. And then he'd be like, let's run it back. I'm like, all right, so we're really competitive. The office meta is very different in how we play it, which is lots of small kicks, lots of small marks to kind of create that space. But all of our perks come with a lot of consideration. So we've had a bunch on the list. We've scrapped a lot. A big thing for us is synergizing two perks, your with ball and without ball, as well as having counterplay as well.
Okay.
So as fun as an arcade as this is, what we'd love to see in a multiplayer setting, be it LAN or online, is to have, you know, different perk combinations and people actually staying competitive. I know it might sound a little bit silly for the kind of fun arcade game that it is, but we want people who have been playing it, like a couple of mates at a barbecue have been playing it for, you know, 3 or 4 hours to really start, you know, figuring each other out and changing perks and, yeah.
The game's
nothing without the banter. Banter's almost mandatory for this game.
Again, you can have the strategy and you can have those kind of ways of outwitting your mates without having to have endless layers of menus and strategies and you know, numerical perks that kind of come with a lot of these things. It can be far more pure, and that's what you guys are doing, and it's working really well so far. In terms of, I guess, jumping in the deep end and actually getting to work developing a game, learning, you obviously had some experience and you'd, you know, kind of, oh, you know, computer's not too bad, I can get around this, but I think there's a lot of people that have had experience in games have come to games maybe a bit later having worked elsewhere, and they've realized just how deep the pool can get. How's it been developing the skill set required and learning all the tools that are at your disposal to make this thing happen?
Yeah, so another thing we touched on in the preamble before the show is definitely, it's only a positive from coming from another industry to going to games. Time management is massive, absolutely huge. And even though, you know, I did a lot of work with the Microsoft Power Platform, a lot of JavaScript, I did C#, which is basically what Unity is.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of different languages along the way. But you can always teach yourself how to code. That's just a skill you can learn.
Well, it's
I
binary,
think.
right? It's you know, type this and it does this.
Yeah,
At its
but there's
core,
a.
there's other aspects for sure, but
Yeah, there's a million and one different ways that people go through it. But as I mentioned before, having that experience in a more in a larger organization and not just leading projects, but just being part of bigger projects, you get a real good feel of, you know, sprints or tranches, whatever you want to call them, how to break up your work, you know, what are the nice to haves or what are the, you know, mandatories to have for this, you know, let's say for the Game Expo, we knew exactly what we wanted for the Game Expo. We didn't get to the Game Expo and go, oh crap, we don't know what we want. It was all right. We're this many months out, this is the work we need to do, rough estimates, and then reassess every couple of weeks, go, all right, where are we at? What are we cutting? What can we add in? Things like that. So
basic project management, right?
basic project management, like it's undervalued significantly, especially if you're in a small team of one or two, like we're just two guys. Having a little, you know, a Trello's free, put up a board, couple of, you know, a couple of lists of what we want to do, and then just pounding through it. But yeah, teaching is fine. There is a lot. Unity is great for promoting what Microsoft calls citizen developers. I'm not a Microsoft shill here, guys.
No, but that's what, do what you gotta do.
But basically, they have a set where it's part of their Power Platform, where it empowers regular users to be able to create things, make apps and things like that for corporate use. It's like kind of like WordPress, but
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
with WordPress and things like that comes a lot of bloat. And same as Unity, excuse me. Unity has a lot of things that they give you to plug in or whack on here and there, but it comes with a lot of bloat. And obviously, yes, our experience in coding previously really helped us, I guess, structure our code and approach things significantly differently to how, you know, your Udemy courses will take it. Definitely helps us. But again, like I mentioned, you know, perfection is the enemy of
Productivity,
profitability.
yeah.
Profitability. When you're making games, you don't want to spend 10 years making a game. So it's again, it comes down to project management. You don't want to get, you know, bogged down and you know, spend too much time on one thing. So yeah, to answer your question, learning Unity is fine. The Udemy courses are phenomenal. Udemy is a great place, but definitely project management or time management in general is absolutely massive.
Yeah.
Massive. It's probably the main reason why we've been able to churn out, you know, what we have in 12 months.
Well, we obviously hear about, and yeah, obviously that's a very short timeline when we compare to a lot of things that we would typically hear about. And I think one of the things that can often plague game development is things like feature creep and those sort of things. Have the best
That's
project management in the world can still crumble when you fall victim to, oh, this feels like a good idea. Like this would be great, and you know that little bit of ambition or that little bit of excitement and energy that can come about. So I'm sure those temptations have been there along the way.
You have to allow
Some
for
things,
that.
yeah. So
You
yeah, I was
have to
gonna,
allow for that.
so I guess with that said, then how do you allow for that? How do you factor in that? Okay, like, and maybe we're far enough through the project now that you've probably identified what is and isn't going to work and what's good, and maybe those last minute epiphanies aren't on the way, especially considering that it's grounded in something that's very tangible and very real, and we can see it and
We
interact with it. And
definitely still add things on the fly. We get some cool feedback from events, PAX, Game Expo, and then we didn't even think about it. People are like, oh, this would be really, really awesome to have. I'm like, all right, cool, man. That's going in.
And so how do you
So
allow for that when you talk about, you know, the time management and all the things we've been discussing? How do you try, but where's
So
the line? How do you find the line?
there's always the mandatories, right? There's always the must includes. So let's say if, you know, your average week is 40 hours, you'd decide how much of that 40 you're going to allocate to mandatory tasks, and then there's always a bit of spillover. You know, there's always you always add a bit of time extra for, you know, things that happen along the way, but you always add in for some fun little side projects as well. But yeah, 100%. There's always stuff to, you know, shower thoughts and things you want to add into the game. And I'd love to say that we've got the next, you know, 12 months planned out, you know, to a T, but mechanically, we know what we want. A lot of the work is going to come from when we get this game in the hands of, you know, the wider player base, and they're saying, "Hey, man, this is shit," or "Hey, this will be really cool." I'm like, "All right, So now we know what people want. I think keeping to the methodology of make a game that's fun. You know, what some things that I liked, some things that Barra liked, you know, either we had didn't like for each other's ideas or people haven't liked the idea, you scrap them. You know what I mean?
Of
It's,
course.
do I want to make a game for myself, or do you want a game that everyone can have fun playing? So, yeah, it's mandatory work, and then you whack in a few little, you sprinkle on some fun stuff. Generally fun stuff you can bang out in a day, half a day or a day. So you're like, you know what, Friday, you know, kids have been sick. You know, I'm like, all right, I want to do some fun, so I'm just gonna start playing around with, you know, X, Y, or Z from our fun to have list.
Yeah, that's fair. And so obviously, those opportunities to put the game in the hands of the masses. You've had a couple of those opportunities. We've touched on PAX. We've touched on the Game Expo. Collecting the feedback from that, even attending these ones, which I guess you'll get. I mean, outside of the fact that as an AFL lover, the game stuck out to me straight away and caught my eye. I think it also, when you compare it to the sea of other stuff that you see at these expos, typically it stands out because it's pretty different. What's it like attending events such as that, being kind of the odd one out in some sense, but also having, like, knowing that there is a group of people who are going to attend this thing who are going to be, like, as soon as they discover it, if they didn't know about it as they're walking the door, they're going to be all over it because, you know, they're a sports lover, they're an AFL lover, maybe more specifically. What's and then the feedback that you get from these different groups with varying different levels of knowledge of game dev. What's that been
Yeah,
like?
it was PAX was bloody wild, mate. We were 5 months into development. We signed up for PAX, and then we didn't really have a game that was ready for PAX. Like, we didn't have it ready. So that was our first big crunch. We got into PAX. We're like, all right, we'll get to PAX. We've got our booth. You know, we've had some. You know, one of our contact within PAX management team has been amazing. Like, absolute legend. Same with the Game Expos. We've only had great experience with event organizers. So I'm just going to say that's the industry standard. Everyone's amazing. So yeah, we went to PAX like, all right, if we get, you know, if half the, if 50% of the time we got butts on seats playing our game, we'll be happy. So we expected to have a lot of downtime. You know, media come in on the Friday morning, footy game. No, I think one person came and spoke to us. And you know, me and Barrow, we're just like, oh, we're G'd up, we're good to go. You know what I mean? This is the, you know, the most fun game we've
I
played.
feel like I can probably pick who it was too, but anyway, just Zach Jackson.
Yes. Yeah. So we're no. We're that
It
was
wasn't Zach.
no. We had another person come in the morning who just didn't really do anything with it with the work. And then come Friday, we started to get a little bit of a trickle in, and then people, yeah, because we were on the opposite side to the main causeway, so people couldn't see our signage. And then people started, you know, noticing us and coming back and playing. And then we had the return customers who would come in, and then they just, you know, we'd hype man the game as much as we could. We're commentating, people are yelling, cheering, banging the table. Apologies to our neighbors on that table as well. So yeah, so it was insane. Like, we were busy and flat out all 3 days. It was mental. People loved the game. It was a great test for us. So we had over 300 games played over 3 days.
Yeah, right.
You know, no crashes, no memory leaks. The features were pretty bare. We had just finished the kicking, punching, tackling, marking animations. The crowd was basic. Everything was basic. It was a proof of concept to see could our idea work. And yeah, it was
And then under the
mental.
stress of a giant crowd as well. So,
Oh, no stress of crowds, mate. That's
oh,
a
sorry, I mean, as in the game, under the stress of, you know, so
Oh
many of the games, times it's being run and those sort of things,
yeah. So that was another,
you expect issues, but as you said, no crashes, no memory leaks.
surprisingly, you know what I mean? So we appeased someone, which was great. But
It's
yeah,
nice to have
so
a footy game that works.
there are we heard that a lot.
I can say that. That's all right. You can't. Don't worry about it. Hi,
Yeah,
Ross.
the reception that we had from, you know, your diehard footy fans was amazing. And the reception that we had from people who they come and they hear the commotion, you know, you offer, hey, it's like, you know, jump in and play. It's like, oh, I don't know, footy. I'm like, awesome, you don't need to know, man. I'm
Don't
like,
need to.
here's punch, here's kick, here's mark, and just, you know. So they jumped in, and same with the Game Expo, where we had a lot of people who don't like football play the game, and they'll come back with their friends and play it a couple more times, Parents with their kids came and play it. So where we thought we'd be this little niche corner of PAX that was, most of the time empty, we were just flat out. We
One of the
ran,
liveliest, yeah.
we were allowed. Thanks to the enforcers for being really cool there as well. We did have an almost permanent station near us to keep people kind of compressed in. But that were great. We just paid them off with some good socks, and then they were good. But no, yeah, like from expecting to be part empty to be, people like yourselves and Zach were coming in, questions. I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, this is people are really having fun, huh? I'm like, this is great.
So, you obviously mentioned, people that weren't necessarily fans of football coming in and having a go and finding a lot of enjoyment in it. When are you going to hit up the AFL for your finder's fee for all these people who are going to start signing up, becoming members of a club and attending matches now? Because you're owed a little bit there. But also, like, I guess on the more serious side, I guess this is obviously not an official product. Straddling that line, because obviously there's IPs, there's legal, there's a whole range of different things that are associated with anything regarding the AFL. You're making something that is referencing it. It's very similar. There's jumper designs that are similar, but it's totally open to be customized. So people can make a Geelong jumper if they so wish, or a Bombers jersey if they so wish. They don't have to. How do you walk that line? Because they can be pretty litigious when they need to be.
It's just being respectable along the way. It's just, there's no malice or any ill intent on our side. So it's being respectable along the way. We're not trying to sneak in emblems or player names or team names. We're going, okay, jersey patterns and colors. The teams are just home and away for the moment. And yeah, but we're not trying to toe any lines or to kind of push to see how far we can get. It's more so, okay, here's our jersey patterns. There's, can't remember how many there were, like 12 different patterns in all of, Australia, from juniors to, your prime leagues. And then color palettes. We just added in color palettes, and yeah.
People can make what they want then at that point. It's totally up to the player.
100%.
Dialogue with the AFL itself, has there been any? Do you plan on kind of reaching out? Have they reached out? I guess is there any sort of dialogue at all? I know because of probably the punching and blood aspect, I'm sure it's not necessarily the most potentially attractive of prospects to them because it doesn't necessarily maybe reflect the direction they want to take the game in some elements. But in others, it's also a lot of fun, and there's a lot of ways that people can engage with this sport. So, has there been any sort of dialogue at all up to this point?
No dialogue. We're definitely a small fish still. I don't think we're gonna try and I don't think we're gonna be able to, corner the market in AFL games by any means. It's a fun party game. If there are chats to have along the way, we'll have those chats. Obviously, we're just being as respectful as we can to their organization. We're not, again, we're not trying to sneak in anything. It's just purely patterns and colors, and even the character customization screen. There's only, I think, a handful of different nose shapes, generic nose shapes in the world for humans. So it's, if you want to make a character, you can make a character look however you'd like. But
No, nice.
as of now, no chats. There's been a few people who work for the AFL, who are actual game devs as well.
Oh, really cool.
So we've had a couple have a chat with us, and they really enjoyed it. So yeah, again, we're still a small party game. I don't think there's any threat from us whatsoever.
Look, I know that there's a few AFL players who are aware of the title already. I've spoken to a couple that are aware of the game as it is. So, who knows? Who knows what could potentially become of
AFL players.
players that are aware. Yep.
Mate.
So who knows at this point? It just needs to fall into the hands of the right few people, and all of a sudden,
Yeah,
you're off to the races, mate.
it's natural progression.
Yeah.
We just got to make an awesome product that's fun for everyone, and then whatever happens, we roll with that. So,
It's a whole word of mouth thing, exactly like what happened on the show floor. So who knows what's possible?
yeah, fingers crossed, right?
Yeah. I guess moving forward for the game, and I'll leave it very open to you because I know we had a bit of a chat at the Game Expo, and there's certain things that you said in terms of plans that you didn't want me sharing, and I won't be doing that. So I'll kind of throw the ball over to you here to kind of take it and go as far as you like with it. In terms of future plans, in terms of where the game's headed, timelines, those sorts of things, how are things shaping up? We know, you know, project management timelines. We've just been discussing them. How are things tracking at the moment?
Timelines are the fun one.
In the most friendly and like, please, I'll, yeah, you know, we'll cut things out if we need to. But
what do they say? Under commit, over deliver.
Yeah.
Set
the bar low and you'll never disappoint.
Yeah. Look, there are certain events in the gaming world, like PAX, like the Game Expo, and you know, a few online ones in between, that we're looking to tie up a few milestones with.
Yeah.
So where we're not going to announce, go, hey, let's do this on this date, because if we don't think it's ready, we're not going
to. Yeah, you don't want to pull the trigger, yeah.
Exactly right. So, although we're making a, you know, game's coming up really, really fun, really, really great, we don't want to ship something, even for a demo. If we don't want, you know, we don't want to run with, oh, it's a demo, it's okay to be shit, we just want feedback. You're going to get the best feedback from a game where people aren't picking up on my game crashed, yeah, my kicking doesn't work, my, you know, my coach's box is on the middle, in the middle of the pitch. So it's, yeah, so kind of.
No, you're right. You want to put out something that it's still representative of what the final product is planned to be.
Correct. Yeah. So we've, in 5 months, we got the PAX. And then from October to March, we had the Game Expo. And then, you know, PAX is 6 months away. And then we have some things in between that as well. And like I said, it's not, you know, we have an ability, which is great for us, to just plan our work really well and just take the important things and just chunk them down.
Yeah.
So I think that we work at a pretty speedy pace, but QA is also huge for us. Once we can open it up to the public, we definitely will. And then hopefully our Discord will get absolutely just smashed with people giving feedback. If no one's given feedback, it means either we've made a perfect game,
or you've not made a splash at all.
Very unlikely, or people don't want to, you know, people don't think it's worth their time.
Yeah, one way or the other, you want to hear from people, right?
100%. Even at, you know, the Game Expo on PAX, where, you know, we get a lot of praise, but it's those ones who are a little bit more critical, on, or had a few constructive ideas. They're the ones that, you know, went straight into our Discord, you know, mid chat, so we didn't forget what was happening. In terms of, let me go through some features that we're gonna. Yeah, so your video touched on the features pretty well.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sorry for anyone who's unaware listening to the podcast. I did a video on my AFL kind of centric platform there, the Hoops Crew, and people can go check that out, where I spoke about some of the stuff that we discussed, my hands-on time with it. People should go check that one out. But yeah, sorry, build upon that though. Yeah.
Yeah, good plug.
Need to.
Yeah. So where the bread and butter of the game now is couch co-op, you know, 2 to 4 players.
Yep.
We've got things. So in the next major milestone, it'll be an AI rework. Because right now the AI is pretty simple. It won't really do too much. It'll, you know, get the ball if you're not there. And then as soon as the AI touches the ball, it'll swap to that player. So the AI's job is to get the ball and then straight away hands control to the player. That way you're not sitting in your hands and, you know, or banking on the AI. So yeah. AI rework is definitely something that's coming. Online multiplayer is something that we want to do. So being able to, you know, again, how popular is the game going to be? Time will tell. But being able to tee up a game with your mates is something that we really want. You can't always get there and, you know, sit down on one couch.
Yeah, couch cop's not always a thing.
Yeah, even though I'm adamant that's the best way to enjoy the game.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. It's not in the same orbit necessarily, but I think about the Overcookeds and all those sorts of games moving out, I guess, for another somewhat local example. Those games these days have online functionality.
Yes.
And, you know, thoroughly enjoyed moving out 2 for its online functionality, because the the first one I knew would have been, it was both of them, I guess, technically, a lot better being able to sit there alongside someone and share in the chaos on the spot. My wife didn't love it too much when we tried to play Moving Out together. I think she was a bit concerned by with how serious that I got.
But, I was going to say, my wife does not like me playing Overcooked. She's hates to lose. So
It's a pretty stressful sort of experience. But those online modes are certainly important. Like the original, I guess I'll go to Moving Out again as the example. The original Moving Out didn't have the online multiplayer, and kind of launched in and around the during COVID. And so for me, considering I had a wife that wasn't overly keen on it because of what she felt like it was maybe doing to me, it meant that I couldn't play the game. It was completely inaccessible for me. So the things like the online definitely helped, and there's audiences, you know, portions of the audience will absolutely benefit from having the online modes there. But as you say, there's something to be said for the couch co-op experience, and hopefully that never dies industry-wide.
Yeah, 100%. So having the approval to start development for Switch was a big thing for us. So we've been signed off to develop for Switch. So that'll be our actual main console we'll be going to after PC at this rate. We'll obviously be chasing down as many platforms as we can. PlayStation, Xbox, we're chasing that down. All of our testing is being done in parallel with mobile phones too.
Yep.
So that's you know, running really, really well on phones. So we're not trying to leave anyone out. The mobile phone thing just works well with our development style.
Yep.
And testing that, you know, in parallel with our normal development. So that's working really well. But in terms of features, you know, it's the main thing now is 2 to 4 players. We will be expanding that onto multiplayer online, and we do want to have like a kind of a single player story mode. The idea is to have more of a grassroots thing where you can kind of build up, you know, your club, your stadium. You know, the actual mechanics of that are still we've narrowed it down. But I think feedback is going to be really important about how we want to approach that one. So we know that, you know, the party game aspect is amazing, but sometimes people just want to sit back and, you know, maybe have like a long, like a slow grow game.
Yeah.
Where it's more condensed down, kind of like Blood Bowl, where you have your team and they can have injuries and things like that. So where we want the multiplayer, or your PvP, if you're a, you know, an oddly real competitive person sort, like me, online. Yeah. We want that to be more of a skill check than a perk check. So we want to have as much of the skill sit in the hands of the players as we possibly can. So things that you see in the single player mode, you know, might not translate well to a multiplayer setting, so they'll be omitted from that. So that's kind of where our head's at. We don't want to just cater to, you know, the online
audience. Yeah.
So, you know, a single player mode, be it a slow grow or, you know, a lot of really, really cool single player ideas out there. We want to cater to someone who's like, you know what, I've had a long day. I just want to kick back on my, you know, on my computer, on my Switch, on my phone, and just have a few games, you know, a bit of progression along the way. But yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, like you mentioned, check out your video. You touched on it really well.
Thank you. Glad I didn't butcher it. Well, as we start to wind things down, I'm going to quickly toss to a pre-recorded version of myself to shout out the patrons of Dev Diary. And so it's at this point in the show that I want to make sure that I shout out all of the amazing patrons at the show shout-out tier on patreon.com/devdiarypodcast. Those people are supporting at the top tier in the show, gets them this shout out, and I am eternally thankful because you are helping fuel the fire that is Dev Diary now and into the future. And so, with this newest episode, I want to shout out Scott Makes Games and my mum, Julie James. Thank you very much for supporting this show, and let's get back to it. All right, let's wrap things up. Dan, it's been a pleasure having you on the show and learning about the story into this industry, the experiences with games along the way. As we start to wind things down, a couple serious ones and then a couple light ones to bring us home. Is there anyone out there in this game development landscape or any other facet of your life that really inspires you in the way you go about your work?
I must sound a bit corny, mate, but Barrow is like he's the one that's, running ahead. Now I'm doing whatever I can to kind of keep up with him. I think both things that we do, we kind of challenge each other and kind of have that again, over competitive. You can say learning, good learning, good fun, but it's over competitiveness. But I think in this industry for sure, it'll be Bauer and even some of the contractors that we've had to come in. Luke, who's done the new splash art for us and the signage that we covered with the TV, absolute, legend. And I feel like even the people who have applied or put an expression of interest to work with us, it's just the caliber of talent in Melbourne, especially,
It's crazy,
like
right?
it's mental. Like there are such talented kids, out there, and older people who have come from corporate jobs and come down to get it's mental. It is mental. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's inspiration to be found everywhere, right? So, it's good that you've got someone like Barry next to you, but then, yeah, so many amazing people you're going to cross paths with as well. It's pretty awesome. What have been some of the most valuable lessons and experiences you've had along the way so far, whether again through game dev or through corporate or any other facet of life that's really helped kind of, I guess, serve as a North Star of sorts even now?
It was definitely, I don't know if I mentioned off stream or on stream, it was being put in a position of a company where I gave the most value opposed to what I wanted to do. So I wanted to develop, but I was good at, certain things, front facing, customer facing. And I think that experience in kind of heading up projects, small, medium, large projects, and going out doing your tenders and all that stuff, that has helped so much. Because this industry, it's not sit down your computer all day and develop. It's networking is huge.
Oh, it's crazy, yeah.
Like I mentioned to just a moment ago, it's the people you meet who come and go, you know what, here's my card, man. And like, we might need that person. I'll never turn down a conversation with anyone. I'll never turn down an introduction or a call with anyone. But I definitely think one of the main moments for me is being put in a role which I didn't want to do, but I knew I was good at. Kind of toot my own horn a little bit, but yeah, that kind of falls back into the whole time management, project management, and that networking part of it. So yeah, definitely that. Thank you, Corporate Australia. That was an
It's
experience.
handy.
Yeah.
Well, some lighter ones now as we wrap things up. We've touched on a whole range of games that you've got to enjoy early days. If you could be credited for any game in any capacity, it could be as simple as special thanks. What game would you have just loved to have worked on?
It'll be StarCraft
The
2.
original two.
Look, I love the original. StarCraft 2 is what I hit hard, my 8 to 10 hours a day.
Ooh.
My wife was printing me out, guides, and binding them for me. So when I wasn't playing, I was watching or reading. And I feel like, being the punching bag for the Oceanic pro scene, I never bet any of the good people, but I got to go against them, which was great. But yeah, it's like modern game, StarCraft 2, 100%.
That's right.
Back in the day, Rock and Roll Racing, oh mate,
The memories.
oh my God, the music and the gameplay. Maybe we'll get an Aussie version of Rock and Roll Racing. Who knows? We'll see.
One day,
One
maybe.
day, one day. Yeah.
If you could go back and replay any game, strike it from your memory and get to experience it fresh all over again, what game would you just love to have that experience with?
That's
And there's so many different ways people can come at this because some people will think about it through a narrative lens, others are just like the moment to moment. So it's entirely up to you how and why we get to that point, but what game would it be for you?
The first Metal Gear Solid would be definitely one that I'd love to just go in again and play for the first time, because that was mental. And a newer one, which is probably a lesser known one, which I really enjoyed, was Singularity. This is
Oh,
maybe like
yeah.
ten years ago,
Yeah,
maybe,
the
but
PS3 360 PC game, yeah.
yeah, that was such a weird.
Was that Raven? I feel like that was maybe a Raven job.
I got no idea. I just know I got bored of my birthday. I left it for ages and I played it and I sat through the
Yeah, it was a
entire
Raven
day.
job. It was a Raven software job. Yeah.
I played that in one day, the entire thing through. I'm like, this is freaking amazing. So that surprised me. That gets an honorable mention because I had no idea what to expect. But oh, mate, that was great.
Mate, I don't know if anyone's ever going to shout out Singularity in any other capacity. So, like, I'm stoked that you've brought that up. It was only somewhat recently that I was like, this is a game that I need to fill in the catalog a little bit, and went and found someone selling it on Facebook Marketplace and picked it up for about $15, and I was absolutely stoked. And
Story
yeah.
was dope. Mechanics were dope. Everything was great. Yeah, perfect. Go play the game if you haven't played it. I don't know
Underrated
how you're gonna
team.
get it, but
Facebook Marketplace of people. Underrated, and Raven has been completely swallowed up into the Call of Duty machine, so who knows whether Xbox can salvage them these days, I don't know. But incredibly underrated team, so people should go check out Singularity and a whole bunch of other things that Raven have done over the years as well. Good
yeah, some
choices, though.
thanks, man. There's been some travesties, like was it a Unreal tournaments have been expunged from all
Oh, yeah.
everything now. Like grew up on that. That's a bummer. Lucky I bought it on Steam, eh? Before they disassociate themselves because you can't buy it anymore, right?
Can you not even get them on
Epic has
Epic
got
Games
rid of it
Store?
completely.
Probably because they just want you to play the most
If
recent.
you want to get no, all Unreal tournaments are gone. If you want to
Oh.
play Unreal tournament, you have to go. You
It's not
got to
on
put in
Good Old
your.
Games.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'll try and do a quick skim for GOG while we're going, but Unreal.
Absolute banger. The one game I'd love to work on at some point would be another
Oof, no. There's a lot of
kind
anime games that are popping up here that are
of
definitely not.
you got that
Maybe
filter off, huh?
maybe I shouldn't have just searched. Well, no, I was on the Good Old Game Store, but maybe I shouldn't have just put Unreal. I might have needed to be a bit more specific.
Probably. But yeah, like an arena shooter, that would be another fun one to work on one day.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Who knows? Who knows what's possible?
Well, we'll see. We'll see how Footy Bash goes. We'll see if we'll get some moderate success or if we're gonna, go back to corporate Australia after this.
Well, hopefully it is a massive success. But Dan, just quickly before we wrap up, if people want to touch base with you, Barra, learn more about the game, whether it's Discord, whether it's social media, where should people go?
So our website, dangerthumbs.com, will have links to all of our socials and our Discord. All of our social handles are at dangerthumbs. So the best way to contact us, just jump on a social ping, jump on the Discord, as well. We try and have a as active community as we can. Throw up some memes, throw up some things that you might think will be cool in the game. As much conversation as we can get with the community is what we want. So yeah, definitely hit the website, follow all those. So I'm really bad at social, so you're gonna get a bit of boomer energy in my posts.
Good.
Oh mate. And the Discord. So yeah, any way you want to contact us, we'll be there.
Go check out all the platforms that they're all available to you. The game is out soonish, targeting 2024. We'll leave it at that. Hopefully sooner rather than later. It's a very exciting prospect. It is one that, despite all my media work, I just kind of stumbled onto PAX Day, didn't even realize it was there. Eyes lit up. I've been in love with it since. And if anyone's not checked it out, you should absolutely do so. Go check out all the stuff there, and hopefully you will fall in love with it like the many hundreds at PAX did, the many at TGX did, and hopefully many more to come.
Fingers crossed. Now, if we appreciate you and everyone else who's been really generous, and some not so generous with us, but yeah, any attention is good attention. This is our first foray into the game
World
industry.
of
So yeah,
Games.
we appreciate everyone who's given us even a little bit of their time to even look at the website. So thank you so much.
No, not a problem at all. Dan, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
No worries at all. Thanks for having me.
And listeners, as always, thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you next time. That concludes this entry of Dev Diary. Be sure to subscribe to this feed, share with your friends, and give us a 5-star review to help boost the show up the charts for greater exposure. If you have any people you'd like me to reach out to in an interview, then please find me at Paul James Games on Twitter to help me get in touch with them. Until our next episode, however, that's been Dan's story. Thank you much for listening, and I'll see you next time.